This is the untraceable episode of the Flophouse. So suck it, FBI. So, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
That's us.
Welcome to the Flophouse. Elliot, you're back after we took a
sabbatical.
We took a week off, and then you were also
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Hey, whoa.
Our audience folks.
Let's you keep also, quiet. We also had a replacement host for a week.
He seemed fine.
So
no Elliot Kalen, but you know, that's I'm just saying. I'm one of a kind.
Jeez. So any big life changes? Since we last saw you.
Well, I was hoping to get my own TV show off of my brief cameo on the recent Daily Show episode. It was going to be called Correction with Elliot Kalen. I would walk out, correct people in their everyday ordinary life when they made common mistakes, such as if someone was like, man, that guy's a real Frankenstein. I would walk out and say, is he a mad scientist? Because if not, you mean Frankenstein's monster.
Sounds like a really irritating show.
Well, that's what the people at the network said, so that didn't happen. So otherwise, no, not very much has been going on.
All right. Well, but now we're all back together.
And we the original peaches.
What?
It's from the American classic A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, this used to be my playground.
Tom Hanks was in that movie. You know, Tom Hanks' son was in another movie.
What movie is that?
Orange County.
Oh, misdirect.
Zing. But he was also in a film we watched tonight, which is Untraceable. And I have to say, we were really looking forward to watching Untraceable.
Yeah.
For some strange, inexplicable reason that I can't remember.
I don't know.
Remember.
I was really let down.
Yeah. I've always liked movies that start with un and end in a bull.
Yeah, dude.
You're basing this on Diane Lane's other film,
Unfaithable.
Well, Unfaithable, Unbreakable, the aborted Rob Schneider project, Unrapeable, all sorts of things.
Whoa.
That's a long story. Nice. Anyway.
You know, I watched Unfaithable once.
Yeah?
Oliver Martinez was hot.
That's not where I saw you going with that sentence.
Yeah, so I think the real problem with this movie was we pre-seeded it by crowding around your computer. And going to IMDb and watching the trailer for the movie Twin Sitters, starring the Barbarian Brothers, and we got
certainly nothing could live up to that.
Yeah, we got
certainly not untraceable.
We got all worked up, and
so I guess what we're saying is maybe you guys should watch that movie. I mean, we haven't even seen it, but just based on the trailer,
or at least just watch the trailer like five times.
Just watch it; it's a great trailer.
Yeah, it's really good.
But Untraceable was about an internet killer, and I think that's probably what excited us about it. It's always been a Flophouse favorite theme to watch films that vilify the web.
Or that just use technology incorrectly right off the bat. Or that sling jargon left and right.
Oh, sure.
To no discernible purpose.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know whether this movie was accurate or not because I couldn't understand any of the technical explanations they gave us.
Everything was vids and packets and
data finders.
Mirror sites and bots and.
And Weber sodes.
And underage Russian teens.
It was all, oh no, he's mirroring his site with a Russian IP address. Firewall! You know, and so forth.
Piano playing pandas.
Well, and here's my problem with it. We haven't gotten into the plot of Untraceable, in case anyone in the audience hasn't seen it. Untraceable is about a man who has a website called Come Kill With Me. No, it's just called Kill With Me, I guess.
Yeah, Kill With Me.
Killwithme.com.
Come Kill With Me.
It's Tony Bennett's album, inspired by the Friday the 13th films. So he has a website called Kill With Me where he tortures people to death, and the more people who watch, the faster the person dies because either more poison is injected or more heat lamps come on. But the thing that struck me
as
crazy.
Sounds like they're like, he's almost making his viewers into accomplices, Elliot.
Yes.
That's
and
terrifying.
That point is made many times.
Just like we were made into accomplices for this film, Untraceable, by me spending $3 to rent it.
So you're like an accomplice to this crappy movie.
Yeah.
But not me. I didn't pay nothing. But here's my most problem with the film. My experience with the internet is that people maybe in like the late 90s, they were sending around like crazy videos of guy, you know, blowing his head off. Oh my God. But now all the videos I get sent are of pandas or like a pet hippopotamus or like a cat playing a piano.
Yeah,
like,
check out this awesome Flight of the Conchords clip. Oh my God, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the big hit at the office a while ago was the screensaver where it looks like a dog is licking your screen from the inside and it's really adorable. Like no one's really interested in blood and guts. It's always like...
So you're saying that come be adorable with me.
Like, I think cutewithme.com would be very successful.
For every 10 people who watch, I'm going to add another kitten to this box.
That would be awesome. Or like, come the ducklings.
I've said too much. Listen, we could be making a lot of money.
Let's put a little costume on this duckling.
But,
oh, no.
But certainly, killwithme.com would not be getting the viewership numbers that he is reporting on his site readout, which at one point go into the 14 millions.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people, dude.
Yeah.
I would think that just time zones would now, get in the way of that.
Yeah, now, time zones, all sorts of things.
I know,
bad connections.
Yeah, slow hookup speeds. That's
I don't
want to
like compel you.
I don't know. I don't get the jargon.
I don't want to compel you to name drop, but because I'm not in television, you are. Like, you've got a better idea of like what an average show might
get.
Let me tell you this.
If 14 million viewers, or even 7 million viewers, as the site seems to normally get, is a fantastic rating. Like, that's really good. A cable show can get by on less than a million viewers much of the time. Like, Cartoon Network, I'm sure listeners to this are big fans of Adult Swim and all that, you know, stuff. But their shows don't make, let's say, 2 to 3 million viewers, most likely. Maybe Family Guy, I don't know. But, like, 14 million or 7 million viewers, like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
like Seinfeld numbers.
By the end of the film, I believe they top out on 30 million.
Really? I don't even remember that. See, to put that in perspective, that's 10% of the United States of America. That's as if you were walking down the street with apartment buildings on either side, and one out of every 10 apartments, someone's watching killwithme.com.
It's very
and it's not just like people, it's like there's
people
like
with computers.
That many computers.
Yeah.
There could be like 10 people clustered around a computer.
In this movie much of the time.
That was just like lazy screenwriting on behalf of the screenwriter, too. They're like, he's like, I don't want to look up like how many people exist in the world and like how accurate it would be.
I wonder if they hired.
It's like, what's a big number? Like, I bet it. I totally bet if like someone was getting killed online, 30 million people would watch.
Or I wonder if it was a more realistic number. Originally, it was like 500,000, and then in the punch up sessions, they were like, "We got to punch up these numbers, man. They're not impressive enough." All right, what about 1 million? All right, that's good. Third draft. We got to punch up these numbers, man. How about 2 million? That's good for now, but we'll see. You know, fourth draft. Let's make it 20 million. Yeah, sounds good. Whatever, man. Let's keep going.
The first guy to get killed, by the way, let's go through the ways.
Yeah, cover the ways. First guy was a kitten.
Well, the first guy was a kitten, which I refused to watch.
You missed nothing.
I will watch people getting tortured.
I couldn't tell what the torture was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like we were teased. We kept being shown like this kitten being put on the floor, and then it was like, oh,
looked
no.
Like he got really sleepy.
He's torturing a kitten. Yeah, and it didn't seem to. Nothing
He's
happened.
He's not playing with the kitten enough. It's
sleepy
dying.
Kitten. That sounds adorable.
See, sleepykitten.com would make a lot of money or would get a lot of viewers. There's no way to make money on the internet. Yeah. But that's the thing is like.
As we well know.
It's not that I want to see anything happen to a kitten. That's the last thing I want to see.
Sure.
But you can't just show me a kitten lying on the floor and have me expect to be horrified the way that Diane Lane is and that she's obsessed with this site almost instantly.
Yeah. But this guy, as serial killers do, he starts out torturing kitties and then moves to
and bedwetting.
Humans.
And moves up.
Human people.
And the first human.
His first website was peeinmybed.com. That didn't do as well.
The first guy that he engraves kill with me. I don't know what he says. He adds the .com.
I think it might just be
kill with me.
I think that's implied.
Here's why this is a flawed advertising thing. Carving the name of your site in your victim's chest. The customer already has to be at your site in order to see the ad.
Yeah, it's like that Domino's ad where if you, it's the get the door, it's Domino's. Like, if I'm hearing this ad and Domino's at the door, I've already ordered a Domino's pizza.
they're not randomly giving out pizzas.
That'd be weird. I'd be scared if some random Domino's guy came to my door.
But it's like if we...
That's a really conceptual criticism, Stuart. Like, you're like, as if you're seeing this commercial that says get the door to Domino's and you're at the door being like, what the fuck?
I did what you told me, TV. Where's my pizza?
Like, who's this guy outside? Oh my God, he's a killer. Oh my God, it's the guy from BigSausagePizza.com.
In a In a terrible coincidence, there was a killer outside the door.
What I don't get about BigSausagePizza.com is none of the women ever seem to be surprised that a pizza. They never seem to be like, no, I don't want this pizza. They're always into it.
And the weird thing
what are the odds that they would always find willing women?
What do they do with the little circle of pizza from the middle that they cut out?
I assume they donate that to the homeless.
I'm not familiar with the site, but I've just gotten an idea of what it is.
I like to think they sneak it under the couch.
What's weird, it's...
I can only plead to them that now that we've given them free advertising, that they link to us, because I think that they're probably more popular...
Possibly.
...than a movie.
Also, you have to carry the pizza perpendicular to the floor.
You think they go there the whole time.
At groin level, too.
At groin level, yeah. That's but the pizza, anyone who is... No delivery person holds a pizza like that. The pizza would slide right to the side of the box.
I always thought that they'd wait until they... Until they determine that the woman who can't pay for the pizza, obviously, because she has no money, that they just wait until she's not an uggo, and they're like, oh, okay, time to get out my circular pizza cutter, okay?
I remember
slip my flaccid pizza into the hot steaming cheese pizza thing.
I remember that comic strip, Nancy and Uggo. I was talking to somebody the other day about the penis in the bucket of popcorn prank, which has a similar failing, which is... You either cut the hole where there's popcorn in it, popcorn starts spilling out, and you've got to jam your penis in, or you go up to the snack counter with a bucket with your penis sticking through it, and you say, quick, pour some hot popcorn in this on my erect penis. I got to hurry over before I get flaccid from the heat of this popcorn around it,
so
I can pull this prank on the girl.
I think what you're not realizing is that, like, that's really the fetish. Like, people... Are really
they love
into
having
exposing themselves to concessions people,
so
demanding that they pour popcorn on their dick.
Salt, possibly hot butter, liquid. They have barbecue powder now. You can get on your
that's
dick.
Not gonna feel good.
I don't know. It's sort of like Gold Bond medicated powder. It's
the exact
tingle.
Opposite.
So wait, are you saying they don't get such a, like an immediate like strong erection that it busts through the bottom of the popcorn?
I don't think
like an eruption.
It's
and like the popcorn kind of shoots out.
No,
a little
it's
bit,
always
like a gremlin was. In it.
It's always assumed that there's some premeditation about this. It's not like when the girl sticks her hand and feels his penis, it's a surprise to both of them, you know. Also, you need to be holding...
My face is red.
Who holds popcorn literally right on their crotch in such a way that's sticking outwards? In case you're wondering how busy I am at work, yes, we did discuss the mechanics of this.
By the way, I was first made aware of this technique.
Older brother?
The video cover to, I believe the video is called Feeling Up. and it was like a, it looked to be like an 80s or 90s TNA comedy. And it was like a nerdy looking guy in your average 80s nerd glasses.
Sure.
Looking really happy with a blonde woman reaching into the and I'm like, oh... I see what's going on.
I mean, he's already got her out on a date. What's he so like? What's
he's
so
feeling
he's done. He's done the hard
popcorn.
Part right there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He likes popcorn. Yeah.
He's not.
That's like, what you didn't. What you couldn't see because it was just the box cover. And he didn't watch the movie. Is he's actually just enjoying that movie a lot?
Yeah. He's feeling up.
He doesn't even know what's going
it's a movie
on
about
below
being
the waist.
Optimistic.
Feeling up.
Yep.
But that's such a good title because it's got three meanings.
Yeah.
He's feeling happy. Feeling up. Uh-oh, my penis is rising. Feeling up is probably going to feel up that girl.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant title.
That's like a Shakespearean pun.
Yeah, there's three meanings. That Tom Stoppard would be shitting his pants if he could come up with that. He'd be so excited.
It's like, get somebody on the horn. Get Baz Luhrmann on the horn. I want him to make this movie.
Oh, man. I could talk about this all night.
I could talk about anything but Untraceable.
So Untraceable. The thing was it was really boring.
Well, I wanted to say, though, like, this guy gets killed with me carved on his chest. And then, like, the way that he's being killed is the more hits the sack gets, more anticoagulant goes into him.
Yeah.
So he's bleeding out. And I made the point that...
A nightmare.
Before there were a bunch of hits, like, wouldn't his blood actually clot... Early on in the process.
Yeah. You have to imagine that business would start slow.
Yeah, and you have to imagine that then, like, once it did clot, the guy has to go in and, like, re-carve in, come kill with me, or at least clean off the scabs.
Yeah.
It seems like a weird way of...
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I get, like, hits in my web box, my online web mailbox, I usually get, like, I get these hits from, like, I don't know, like, penis enlargement, podcasts about bad movies, things like that. And, like, most of the time I ignore them. But I guess eventually everybody went right to this site.
That's
the site. Sounded awesome.
That's the thing is, whenever there's a new killing, people rush to the site, and the numbers
obviously
are racing up. But it means that either he's sending out email notifications that there's a new killing on the site, or people are just lurking around Kill With Me, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, they
in the millions.
They saved it, and then they opened up a new tab on their web browser.
And they just sat and monitored that.
Yeah, of course.
You're saying that there's got to be like an email blast? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you used that term earlier. When we were watching it, I've never heard that before.
An e-blast?
Yeah.
Or an e-worm?
It's like finger blasting.
Nice.
No, well, this is like, a filthy
that?
Episode of the Flophouse.
No, it just seems that, yeah, the only way that people would know is if he sent out a mass email to, like, his listserv and be like, hey, guys, I got a new victim. You might want to come check it out. I'm throwing this guy in a tank of piranhas. I add a new piranha every time someone clicks on it.
Let's find out the answer to this equation. Yeah. 30 million piranhas plus one news reporter equals question mark. You'll find out.
Yeah.
The French would say an angel just passed over us. That's what that silence was.
Okay, that's nice, Elliot.
Good night, everybody.
So so they killed a guy with anticoagulant.
Yeah,
they killed a guy with acid.
With battery acid. A guy with heat lamps.
Oh,
and those
weird
lamps must have been, I don't know how hot, because he looked like he had been on site when Hiroshima was hit.
Yeah, sure.
His body was charred, and he was like, it looked like the scene in X-Men where the senator crawls out of the ocean after being hit with Magneto's mutant-making machine, and he's just turning into a blob of kind of human water.
He also glowed like I said, he was like the lava guy from Altered States.
Yeah. I kind of wanted him to have magma powers all of a
sudden.
That would
have been awesome.
And use those to take down the serial killer.
Magman?
Magman. What a terrible name for
Superman. He's a Magman.
He has the powers of Mag.
Sure.
They could mean anything. Magazines, Mag wheels.
I don't want to tell you. I think it's Magma, though.
So,
Magman.
I couldn't really follow how they actually tracked the guy down eventually.
Oh, they used the internet.
Oh, okay. So it is good for something.
Hoisted by his own petard.
You wouldn't know that watching this movie, because it had this weird, like, reactionary quality to it. Like, Diane Lane make some sort of offhand anti-net neutrality comment.
There were a lot of comments against movie and song piracy, against net neutrality, against
there's that weird
video
bit
sharing.
Where there's that one weird bit where she was setting her daughter up to play with like a weird like internet horse game, because little girls like horses.
They do,
and like she made sure that she had like a nice plate of apple slices to eat. Like, what kind of nerd eats apple slices for a snack?
She was 8 years old. Let's
come on.
It turned out there was a backdoor Trojan in it.
Innocent horse program was actually a backdoor Trojan.
It sounds really dirty.
I couldn't follow it because I was thinking about how I'd like to give Diane Lane a backdoor Trojan.
Oh!
That was a terrible, terrible thing to say.
It was pretty terrible.
Oh, McCoy.
But it took like an anti-like freeware stance.
Don't download these games.
But like, I don't know.
You shouldn't be playing Snood.
Is the message that if like Comcast is controlling which websites get through, that we won't have killing websites?
That's the other. It seemed to be very much in government oversight of the internet in every way. It was also very heavily pro eavesdropping, pro entering buildings without a warrant, pro wiretapping. Like it was
pro entrapment of people by chatting with them online.
That's the thing we didn't mention. Diane Lane plays an FBI investigator who works in, it seems, the internet entrapment department. It's three people, one of whom is deaf, who sit around and look at computers all day and basically entrap people. Or look, they look at gross videos and they're like, "Oh, get a load of this shit! You're arrested, buddy." And that's, you know.
And it doesn't seem like they're going about it in sort of a scattershot way too. It's like, "Oh, here's a pop-up. I'll click on that. That looks like it might be." No, it's nothing.
That's how she discovers, what is it, Song Thief or something like that?
Mm. Oh, that's like that Napster thing.
Yeah.
Napster. Remember that, thing. Guys?
As
remember
if you
that?
Didn't live through Napster being around. That's
like
the Napster thing
that
my grandpa
from
told
me
about.
The early 2000s?
It's like the Napster thing from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I guess it was 8 years
ago. So Colin Hanks was one of those guys, though.
Yeah,
he played the character of Griffin.
Yeah.
Griffin Dowd.
Was his last name Dowd?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that part. Griffin Dowd is a big internet dater. He's always dating girls on the internet. And in his day job,
that's what I always said about him.
In his day job, he pretends to be a underage girl and entraps older men.
Wait a minute. This just in, guys. His character dies in this movie from too much acid.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
That made me sad.
Just in, guys. You got a breaking news from the movie we just watched.
Breaking news. He gets trapped by the killer who uses a really good voice modulation device to make his masculine voice sound exactly like a girl's voice.
A girl he's never met.
Who the character has actually met before. That's the crazy thing, is that the voice not only is a girl's voice, but it's a girl that the character knows.
That's the sort of thing you can do when you're really good at technology, though, Stuart.
I'm not very good at technology, yeah. Clearly.
And who was the killer in the end? Should we give it away?
Well,
was it?
It doesn't matter.
Was it the bald Asian cop?
No, he was the star of the film, as far as we're concerned. The bald Asian cop.
We were quite taken with the bald Asian cop.
a man with a mustache, Asian, bald, kind of heavyset, appeared in the backgrounds of different scenes.
Yeah,
and he had more charisma than everyone else in the movie put together.
But the person who was the killer was mad at the internet, basically.
Sure.
He used it as his tool to destroy others. Which answers the question. There's a hilarious line at one point where they're doing an FBI briefing, and one guy goes, "Why is he using the internet to kill?" And that's answered because apparently some YouTube video of his dad killing himself became a big hit, and people were watching it all over the place. And so
I don't think you can watch that on YouTube.
No.
No, well, I mean, it was a YouTube-ish video. At this point, YouTube is no longer a brand name. It's a
it's like
Kleenex or Frisbee, yeah, sure. Or, you know.
Yeah. So he was infuriated by
Xerox or Flophouse. It just comes to typify a certain type of thing.
Yeah.
Our gawking society. That's what he hated. Our rubbernecking
internet and gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that's
really
a good country song.
Yeah,
rubberneck and internet and game.
And then the climax is really boring because it was just her hanging over a rototiller, and then she falls down and shoots the guy.
Well, she got trapped by
how ironic
her car being taken over by the web. I guess he hacked in through the GPS.
You can do that with hacking,
through,
right?
Through the OnStar system.
Well, I think that you can actually
do that. Which I guess means that you could hack into the Batmobile, since, as we learned, he has OnStar on there.
Yeah.
In the film Batman and Robin.
I don't think that's canonical, Batman and Robin.
I want to believe that Untraceable is part of the same canon of the films as Batman and Robin.
No, but the thing is, I'm willing to, take the movie's word for it that an evil hacking serial killer can hack into the OnStar. I don't believe that means he can lock the doors on the car. Because I think that's a simple electrical circuit. I don't think the car's computer has anything to do with that.
Like locking the doors now, Diane Lane's character. I can't do that, Diane Lane.
The computer knows that she's an actress playing this part.
Yeah. And it was really difficult in the filming of the movie because it never referred to her as her character's name.
Well, you can't explain to robots the concept of acting.
Yeah, sure.
So once they got a robot,
I don't understand, Diane. Why is he calling you a different name?
Yep.
Robots.
Genetic imprint really reads Diane Lane.
But one of the disappointments I had with the film was that the killer did turn out to be kind of a random character.
As it would in real life,
and not like a side character who was, one of the. I was expecting Bald Asian Cop to be a possible suspect. I was expecting Griffin to maybe have done it. All these sorts of things.
I was hoping that it was like a sort of a Jagged Edge sort of thriller where.
Well, yeah, in a way. I mean, let's just say.
Kiss the Girls.
There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason Stan Lee was right in his argument with Steve Ditko about who the Green Goblin should be. You know, if you introduce a totally new character, it just doesn't mean as much.
Yeah.
Although Kiss the Girls was one of the worst revelations of who the villain was.
It was Carrie Ellis the whole time, dude.
But why?
Go back in time.
Because he was a corporate sponsored serial killer. That's why. I think I'm mixing up two movies.
You got to think backwards and imagine all the scenes that Carrie Ellis was in where he said really cryptic stuff. Like, I'm not killing these girls.
I wonder who's murdering these girls. Wink! Now I know why you were winking at me, Carrie.
Yeah.
It was just disappointing because it was like you see these – everyone was ominously introduced and the whole thing takes place in Portland, Oregon, which was apparently the most ominous place in the world.
Rainy.
Never stops raining, always gray, nothing but overhead shots of bridges and things. But everyone's kind of ominous and quiet, so you're like, well, I wonder who it is. Is it him? Is it him? And then this guy is introduced who has evil eye, and you know immediately that it's him, and we've never seen him before, and you know, and he kills a guy by hitting him with heat lamps. The only thing we ever learn about him before his motive is that he likes Korean things.
No, that was just the house he was staying in,
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
That's just the house he had stolen to bring that guy.
So, that was...
untraceable.
Yeah, that was really scary.
But this is a movie that the most... To give you an idea of what watching this movie is like, right about a little bit before the climax, the CD... or the DVD. Sorry, I thought we were using a Philips CDI. the DVD paused because it was... I guess it scratched or something.
Yeah, it scratched, started skipping.
Well, that was the part of the movie that got worn out, right?
Yeah, because people wanted to watch
it. People kept rewinding and were like, what happened?
Yeah.
But it stopped.
That
and
was the part with the backdoor Trojan.
And Dan sat on the couch and said... Oh, I don't care enough about this movie to fix this. So we sat there for a little bit just hoping it would restart itself because we couldn't muster the enthusiasm for any of us to get up and press the play button and try to see how to get past this moment.
I did not take it out and clean it at all.
You didn't do the technique that you used to do with Nintendo cartridges just where you like blow on it and then stuff another cartridge on top?
Yeah.
You didn't do any of that.
I did try and stuff a Nintendo cartridge on top of the CD, but I think I broke my DVD player.
This was also the most. It was both. We couldn't get the enthusiasm, and this was also the most suspenseful part of the movie. Was is this disc broken? Are we even going to be able to finish this film?
Are we going to have to review something else entirely?
Are we just going to talk about the Twin Sitters trailer?
Or Indiana Jones?
There were three points in the movie that because of a bad DVD, I skipped ahead and then reversed to, like, I don't know, 40 seconds after where we stopped. So that lost 120 seconds might change my opinion on this.
Yeah. Movie. Redeemable? Question mark?
Yeah.
Unredeemable.
Oh, unredeemable.
Is the movie I would make about this movie.
Unredeemable. Yeah. Oh, just like untraceable.
So let's just stop talking about it. I mean, I think I know where we're all going to go, but...
I'm going to go home soon, because it's late.
Is this a movie that was a good bad movie, a bad bad movie, or a movie that you sort of liked in some way? Elliot?
This was a bad bad movie for me. I've been on a pretty good roll of Flophouse movies lately, I feel like. Bratz, Dragon Wars... Movies that I surprisingly found something to like in, but this one was no good.
Yeah, this was really rough right on the heels of AVPR, which was really bad. This was a terrible movie, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like bad internet thrillers. I think Diane Lane's really cute.
Sure.
So,
Colin Hanks. What's not to like?
He's adorable.
He's a likable actor. I was sad to see him burned from acid.
Well, you kept talking about how sad you were thinking about Tom Hanks being sad over the death of his son.
Yeah.
I mean, you forgot the difference between an actor and a character at that point, too.
Imagine Tom Hanks.
Like the car.
Your son has been burned.
Now, why would he learn by telegram? His son didn't die overseas.
Imagine that everyone whose son died, they get a telegram about it.
Yep.
Someone.
Somebody from the War Department shows up.
Well, maybe he was an FBI agent.
Sure.
It's maybe not even close. Right. Not even close.
He used telegrams. But ultimately, there was just...
Teddygrams?
And so all the World War II wives whose husbands were dreaded those teddygrams.
We're sorry about your son. Here's some teddygrams. Maybe that'll cheer you up.
Those chocolate ones were so gross, dude.
They're little bear cookies. Maybe that'll take its place in your heart.
Maybe this will ease some of the sting. It's a little cracker. It looks like a bear. Anyway.
Oh, Colin Hanks,
I got a lot of Teddy Grahams to give out today. I'll see you later, I guess.
Wait a minute. So we might see her again? Like, I don't know, I'll see her around.
It's distasteful to hit on a woman just then, but he knows she's single. He's going to come back with more Teddy Grahams.
Yeah. Catch you on the flip side.
Her husband died as well as her son. She's all alone.
Oh, she's, yeah. So it looks like a Teddy Graham delivery guy can give her.
Any man who gives her a Teddy Graham, she's just going to be so grateful.
Well, that's what it was like in Europe after the war. The occupying soldier just had to give girls Teddy Grahams and they could do whatever they wanted. You know.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It was a Teddy Graham-based economy.
So we all really hated this movie. That's too bad. I was really hoping it was going to be fun.
I think the amount of time we spent talking about Teddy Grahams.
So far on this episode devoted to the movie Untraceable, we've talked about Teddy Grahams, cutting holes in things and putting your penis in them. What else? Anything else of note?
I don't know. The internet? Wait, that was relevant.
Oh, God. Oh, let's just move on. Let's move on.
.org. That's an internet joke.
So, okay, so we agree that this movie sucks. What's the next part of the podcast, Dan?
Is this the recommendations?
Yeah, recommend,
okay, Elliot, you go. Elliot Kalin goes.
All right, man, I'm on top of this. I got two movies. The first is, for anyone who wanted a little action, which this movie did not have, a little movie called The Driver, which is a Walter Hill film from 1978 starring Ryan O'Neal and Elliot Elliot Gould. Bruce Dern. They look similar a little bit. No, they play similar characters. Ryan O'Neal is the best getaway driver in the business, and Bruce Dern is the cop who is determined to take him down. And, you know, they're both kind of swaggering macho guys, though Ryan O'Neal is very quiet. And there's a lot of good car chase stuff. There's one scene where he's got to show these guys what he can do to earn this bank job. And he drives through a parking garage doing these really close turns and almost hitting walls and stuff. And they're like, okay, we get it. And he goes, just to prove it, he slowly destroys the car with very, very accurately done moves and things like that, driving just close enough to a pillar to knock the mirror off and things like that. It's pretty awesome.
I have to say, we've talked about how the 70s were a magical time when people like Bruce Dern could star in a movie, but also there were an odd time when Ryan O'Neal could play a very masculine role.
Play a very tough, silent guy. And Bruce Dern's character is hyper masculine. Like he talks like Bruce Dern, so he's like, yeah, kind of like, ah, well, you know, that, you know, I'm gonna catch that guy. But it's, you know, it's he's still like a badass. In the other movie, 1966 Czech film Closely Watched Trains, which I saw the week before last and was awesome. It's a very kind of funny deadpan comedy drama about a young guy who becomes a train dispatcher in his village in Czechoslovakia during World War II, and he really wants to get laid, and those two things kind of intertwine, kind of the bureaucracy he's living in this train job, and the fact that, according to this movie, everyone in Czechoslovakia was trying to avoid work all the time, and also his kind of getting older and trying to be a man through sleeping with women, which he's very bad at. So there's pretty funny jokes in it.
This is Stuart, and Stuart is going to recommend...
Our voices don't sound anything alike.
This is Stuart, and Stuart is going to recommend the movie Them. It's a French movie, and it has...
I heard that was good.
It's basically a couple in the middle of nowhere near Bucharest, I think, getting terrorized by who knows.
Not to be confused with the new movie The Visitors.
Strangers.
Or with
Strangers.
Or with the old movie Them. About giant ants.
Yeah, it's not about giant ants. I don't think. Wait. Oh, my God, Elliot.
No, spoiler alert.
It was a 50-year-old
movie.
It's really, it's got a lot of tension. There's a lot of good, like, long shots, and it does a lot with, like, light and sound, and it's just really tense. So, if you like, I watch it with two girls, and they spent most of the movie with their hands over their eyes because they're scared.
And you like to scare girls.
I do like to scare girls. I like to wear a cape and scare girls. So
it's all on his Facebook page.
That's me. Yep.
The cape has nothing to do with the other part. But
what about you, Dan?
I would like to break the rules and recommend a British television show. However, there were only 6 episodes of said show. And it was intended as a 6-episode closed.
So it's like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, so I think I can maybe make it work and say that people should watch State of Play. It's a great series. It was directed by David Yates, who he just directed the last Harry Potter movie. But this movie is about journalists. Basically, it starts out with a woman falling on train tracks, and you don't know whether she committed suicide or what, but because of this death, it is revealed that she was having an affair with a high-ranking British government official, and from that, you know, more developments spin out, and it has Bill Nighy in it.
The science guy.
If Bill Nye is Adam Getty, James McAvoy is in a small role.
This is a pretty big name cast.
And Kelly MacDonald is in it.
Yeah, I like her. She's Scottish.
Yeah, I told Sarah
it's
that
the accent.
It's hard to sort of concentrate on what she's saying because she's so adorable. And
with the Olsen twins.
Exactly.
Exactly.
and the reason I wanted to see this show was it was recommended to me as something that, you know, people who really enjoy The Wire might like, because it has sort of like similar storytelling.
It's set in Baltimore. Sort
of take a lot of pay a lot of attention to what's going on.
Like Untraceable.
Yeah. So to be distracted by an adorable Scottish accent is a bit of a problem. But it's really good. And it stars also, the main guy is the guy who was the star of the TV show Life on Mars, which I've never seen. But
I've heard that's good. I have also not seen. That was on BBC America On Demand for a long time, and I never got around to watching it, and I feel bad about that.
Man, so that's a lot of good recommendations, guys. Man, if I think I'm going to go out and watch some of these movies.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch
shows.
Them's and States of Play, or what was it?
Yeah, it's other same thing. State of Grace.
State of Maine.
State of Maine. David Mamet's State in Maine is my recommendation. So I'm
gonna take that out of context. Make it look like you have bad taste.
It was a terrible State in Maine.
Listen, when you're doing a satire of the movie industry and you just keep pulling your punches the way he does in that,
got Jonathan Katz in it.
Okay, I'll give you that. It does have Jonathan Katz in it, but he's better in The Spanish Prisoner.
Yeah. I just want to tell people they should go to the Flophouse Podcast.blogspot.com for more than just going and voting on our behalf and writing good reviews of us. Recently, the last full episode, we asked people to draw their own version of an Alien versus Predator fight. And we did get a piece of fan art that I enjoy quite a bit that's posted on the site now. And last week, when there was no new show, or I guess the week before that, I stuck up this episode of Captain in Space, a web series that I write for. And the reason it's sort of Flophouse related is that Stuart came up with the story for it.
Yeah.
At a party.
I did. It was pretty impressive.
At a party, he like sidled up to me drunk, and he's like, you know that Captain in Space thing you do? Like, yeah, you should do an episode where the captain's getting mustaches.
Yep. And then a great story was born. A great yarn.
So
It's just like that castle in Switzerland, where Frankenstein and Dracula were both born.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that if you like pictures or video, you could go to the website. If you're tired of listening to things with your ears.
When you're tired of going to killwithme.com and watching guys being killed.
Yeah.
Or kittens.
There's a lot of other good stuff on the internet.
Sure.
It's not related to killing.
Sometimes it's podcasts.
Yes, like this one.
Sure.
Let's listen to it, shall
Yay.
We?
So wait, are we done?
Yeah. I think the high point of this show was actually the stuff that didn't have anything to do with the movie.
Yeah, well, because fucking Untraceable sucked, dude. It was so long and boring.
It wasn't even long. It was 95 minutes. But it was so boring that it felt like it was twice that length.
Like, oh my god, she's staying in a hotel because the killer knows where she lives. Oh no, the killer's there. He's untraceable. He's caught her. Oh no, she survived and killed the killer. Yay!
I was hoping this movie was just about a guy who wants to copy a picture from a book, but the paper he's using is too thick, nice. So he can't trace through it.
I like to think that it's a guy who's trying to copy a picture through a book, and he has the appropriate girth of paper.
Thickness, let's say.
Sure. He's got paper of appropriate girth. And then he's got charcoal or a pencil.
Sure.
And but he starts trying to trace it, but like the alien geometries of the picture, like his brain can't comprehend. Yeah, exactly.
And worse yet, the girth of his penis is too big to poke through the pizza box and or popcorn that he has.
Mm-hmm. So too much girth yields
that's
too little
popcorn. Enormous.
Sure.
That would have to be enormous to be too big to fit through a pizza box, which is roughly the size of a shield. That's
Also, you can make a
like
whole-
a fucking manhole cover.
Like he has elephantiasis or something like that.
Arguably make a hole of any size, a hole so big that it encompasses the entire penis box.
The penis box? So that's crazy. Like, does that mean like the sides of his penis go out onto his thighs, or is he just incredibly obese?
Yeah, how does he walk? Flophouse listeners, if you'd like to draw a picture of this horrible thing, please feel free to do so and keep it to yourself and not show anybody because they'll get the wrong idea.
Yeah, sounds like the giant guy from Big Fish.
If you do send it to us, we will not post it online. We may look at it and describe it on air, but I think you can pretty much imagine.
I don't know that we're going to do that.
Well, speak for yourself, Ellie.
Let's continue this conversation off air. But for now, for the Flophouse, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Elliot Galen.
And I'm Stuart Wellington.
Good night, y'all.
Y'all? You were just in Ohio, weren't you?
My favorite part about that scene is when the crystal skull flies up and magnetically attaches itself to the bones of the neck, and the neck bones noticeably go like sproing.
We're gonna turn into an alien soon. Oh man, that's gonna be in the after credits music.
I think it has to be. Yeah.
And then there's this awesome bit where this fucking alien skull attached to this other thing. Lame.
Mini crystal skull review at the end of the episode.
I don't want to talk about Untraceable because it sucked.
All right.